Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your...
Well, hello, everybody. You know, I'm going to play that again because a lot of people have asked me. They want to hear the whole song.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P.
Jump on your bike, let's hit the road.
Come on.
Fuck the 5-0, man, we out of control. Hey. I'm a bad motherfucker, riding through the night. Yeah. A 50 motherfucker and I love to fucking fight. Picture me rolling on my chopper on red. No love for the other side, no need to be friends. Hit the gas, homie, you gotta keep on pushing. Got an out chin check, so don't need an ass for the ticket. That's a ticket, man, I ain't gon' pay. Got to do 30 days locked up in CJ. Twist the throttle, let's hit the rolling. My drag bikes on my bike, get the blowin'. A third motherfucker street calling me. Like a mom calls the kids when it's time to eat. Don't approach me, homie, like the shit all good. I'm like half the motherfuckers that live in my hood. I'ma send you a roll into the mall. Put 10 in the clip and 1 in the hole. Fuck what you heard, homie, I'ma always hit a bar. My home was my rubber, but we never ever fall. At the end of the day, we can always stand tall. The gov don't like me, oh fucking well. I guess you can call me the angel from hell. Give a mad fuck. Hey. Run up in my face and get your bitch ass punked. You can shoot me down, but you can kill my pride. Little finger to the sky, homie, let me ride.
Come on.
Kid from the ghetto, east side of the vibe. Motherfuckers get snuffed when they walk outside. I'm all in, cause it's all or nothing. And when I leave this bitch, I'm leaving with something. Fuck the law, I'm gonna make my end. Trigger 40 to the brain from my brothers in the pit. Motherfuckers love to hate when it's under their breath. And then they run like a bitch when it's time to death. I don't rap punchlines, I just rhyme the truth. And speak what's on my mind when I hit the booth. To all my fallen comrades, I like to say rest in peace. No more living life in the belly of the beast, my feet.
Hello. I'm looking at the knowledge of, well, first, that's a great song. I like how they did the mix. But have you seen or heard anything in regard to streetlights that record video and audio?
Oh, when I was in Chicago on the west side, I saw some of those. going through the neighborhood.
It's pretty amazing what these are doing.
Yeah, on the west side and the north side, I saw them. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. You know, if people pay attention, we know that Big Brother plays a big role in regards to, you know, watching and everything else. We're fully aware of this. But within these lights and everything have been redeveloped over the past few years, and a lot of progress has been made with them. One most upgrade currently in the works is a brand new street lighting system, as we were just talking about. The lights are capable of all sorts of fancy features, and they may save the city money, but there's a concern. And the concern is these new street lights are also capable of recording video and audio. Most people are just looking at these like the red light cameras, you know, if you don't stop beyond, or to a certain point before approaching the light or whatever. That's not the case with these. The system is entirely adaptable. The lights are currently being tested in Las Vegas, but they could soon be positioned on public streets throughout the city. People have learned what federal authorities are capable of through the National Security Agency. With recordings of cell phones, conversations, and emails, some worry that this is yet another attempt by authorities to potentially invade our privacies. So, again, you know, when we look at privacies, what do we have left of, you know, it's hard to say at this point. We do know some things, but we don't know everything yet. Now, everything NASA brought us, the technology, the monitoring, watching, recordings of actions and whereabouts, from drones in the sky to hidden cameras, even our TVs and cell phones. Now, how many times has anyone on your show talked about TVs, cell phones, emails, you know? And a lot of people aren't getting it. Or they just think it's far-fetched, you know, that they would go to the point of, you know, the TVs and such, and even appliances, and there's just, the list goes on. There are obvious benefits to the technology. One, it's convenience, but these days some wonder if there's even a time when we're not being watched. We want to develop more than just a streetlight component. We want to develop an experience for the people who come downtown, said Neil Rolieder with the Public Works Department. Neil Rolieder says his latest project involves the testing of a new streetlight system by a company called Intel Streets. They look like ordinary street poles, but they're actually capable. I'm sorry.
Here. No, that's all right. We got to, let me play this video.
Okay.
My News 3 update, sponsored by City National Bank, Nevada's premier private and business bank. Visit cnb.com for more information.
If you've been paying attention to all the downtown redevelopment over the past few years, you know a lot of progress has been made there.
Yeah, and one more upgrade that's in the works right now is a brand new street lighting system, but there's a lot more to it. Gerard Romano joins us live from down at City Hall in front of these one of these new light posts. And Gerard, they are capable of all kinds of fancy and some say unnerving features.
Well, they are, Jim, and I am standing right next to one of these street lights that's currently being tested here in the city of Las Vegas. Take a look. You can see it has a beautiful digital display. It is actually capable of playing music and broadcasting voice messages. If you travel on up this street pole, you can see there's an apparatus at the very top that has two antennas sticking out. That's the wireless technology. All of this operates on Wi-Fi. The problem is these lights also have the ability to record video and voice. Yes, they can be adapted to include a recorder, whereas people who are just walking by can have their conversations recorded. And that is the concern here. Some wonder if it's an attempt by authorities to potentially invade our privacy. It's all around us. Technology, monitoring, watching, even recording our actions and whereabouts. From drones in the sky to hidden cameras.
I can't answer that now.
Even our TVs and cell phones.
Give me some time.
There are obvious benefits to all this technology.
As well as your cable box.
Convenience for one. But some wonder if there's ever time that we're not being watched.
We want to develop more than just the streetlight. We want to develop an experience for the people that come downtown.
Neil Rolliter is with the City of Las Vegas Public Works Department. His latest project involves the testing of a new streetlight system by a company called IntelliStreets. They look like ordinary street poles.
We have one, two on Main Street right next over here, then we have two in the traffic signal.
But they're actually capable of a wide variety of features.
The volume, you have a little slider.
From playing music to broadcasting messages via voice and digital display. It's all controlled via an iPad or similar type device.
Right.
You know, I'm going to tell you guys about a text I received today, and I want you to listen very carefully. The Department of Homeland Security and FEMA, fuck every modern American, power grid drill scheduled for today and tomorrow, so I want to see what happens. But this is the text I got today. Again, the Department of Homeland Security and FEMA, fuck every modern American, power grid drill scheduled for 11, 13, and 14. So let's see what happens.
Actually, there's a server that's housed by the company that's providing this product, and we're communicating it with just a wireless Wi-Fi connection.
It all sounds great, but a growing number of citizens in Las Vegas have real concerns about where all this smart technology may be leading.
This technology, you know, is taking us to a place where you essentially will be monitored from the moment you leave your home to the moment you get home.
Daphne Lee is a privacy advocate who worries our freedoms are quickly disappearing. Illuminating Concepts, the company who designed IntelliStreets, is based in Philadelphia.
The IntelliStreets processors store and analyze data, soundtracks, announcements, commercials, and even video files.
According to their own marketing video, the lights they manufacture are adaptable, capable of adding cameras for surveillance and security, and even recording devices. Yes, the same street lights now being tested in Las Vegas could someday be set up to record conversations from everyday passersby. Las Vegas Public Works Director Jorge Cervantes.
Right now, our intention is not to have any camera recording devices. It's just to really put output out there, not to get any feed or video feed coming back.
But those assurances aren't enough for some, especially since the company's own website touts security benefits, including how the lights can be used to assist Homeland Security in protecting citizens. Daphne would like to know, who's protecting our rights?
At what point do we say, this is the land of the free, people have a right to a reasonable amount of privacy?
Well, I mentioned it all works on wireless technology. That's another big concern here, because Wi-Fi, it has been proven, can potentially be hacked. So they're going to be looking at that very closely as well. Tomorrow I will talk to a UNLV law professor, an expert on privacy, who I think you'll be surprised to find out has some real concerns about this as well. Reporting live, I'm Gerard Romalo, News 3.
You know, I don't know if anybody knows this, but you know, if you got a cable box, which is on top of your TV, or your TV stand, or whatever you got it setting on, It has a camera in it. It also has a recording device. And just like this lady said, you're going to be monitored when you leave, when you come back, and what you're doing in your own home. So like I said before, if you guys bend over once, you're going to bend over twice.
And the only way you can avoid that is if you remove cable and if you remove other
types of technology. You don't have to remove the cable. You just have to, there's a little eye there. You just have to put a piece of tape over it.
The eye meaning the light that's always on.
That too. You can put a piece of tape over that. The only thing I got to tell you is it's just like. Well, mostly all the clubs say, never say anything on the phone which you don't want to be repeated.
Right.
Melody says she's taping paper on everything. Not paper. Tape. Use duct tape. Over duct tape. At least two pieces. One on top of another and pop it on there.
You know, unfortunately, these cameras are going to be everywhere. Should be a way
out.
I know. But what I'm saying is, it's going to be everywhere. It's not just going to be in certain places at the moment like it is. They're not everywhere yet, but they will be.
Well, you know, in California, on every stoplight that I've seen, there's a little eye up on top facing each way. And then if there's a light on the right and left, there's a little eye on top of that, too. They say it's for the fire department to change the lights from...
When they use their thing, right.
Yeah. But I think there's a little more to that.
I'm sure. But it's not like anybody's going to go and take a look because they get in trouble. You know.
Why?
Who's
going to stop you from walking up and looking at the light?
Well, if you took it apart to see, you know, yeah, you can get in trouble for that. I mean, just stand there and look at it. No. But
I mean,
it's
amazing. I've been down at the VA with photographers that are taking pictures and... The rent-a-cops are all over them.
Right.
Doesn't matter whether they have a press pass or not.
Yeah, they seem to be in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm. I ride my bike on the base every day, and I get at least once a week I get pulled over.
I still find that.
Just because of the way I'm dressed. This is the way I'm dressed.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that you had to be dressed a certain way.
Is there a
dress code that you're not aware of?
No. There's, you know, according to the UNRRA Act, I can't be judged by the way I dress.
Right.
When I said that to a guy, you know, what can I do? He's just like, and I'm like, maybe what? You know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, okay, now here's another thing, not to switch gears, but this guy, his name is Andrew Chambers, and he was given a prison term of 10 years. Because the judge told this guy that because he was in Iraq, he makes him a threat to society.
You know, I saw that. Now, does that mean anybody that served in Iraq is going to be a threat to society?
I have, you know, this is like we told you, okay? you've got all the armed forces, you've got all the police departments. Who's next in line to defend the country? Huh?
Yeah. And if you notice, a lot of the top brass are walking away, stepping
out.
No,
they're not walking. They're getting thrown out. They're getting forced
well,
to retire.
Yeah. I'm saying this nicely.
They're getting forced to retire because when they asked them, would you fire on American citizens, they said, oh.
No.
What's the best thing to do? Okay. You're at mandatory retirement. We don't need you anymore. See ya.
Yep. Now, in regards to this supposed 13th and 14th thing, what is that supposed to be about?
The what?
The two dates that you said. Something like
they're going to be conducting grid tests.
You know what a
grid test is? No. A grid test, when they test, like when the power goes out.
Yeah.
And they come back and say, well, we have to do this, or we have to do that. And it's being run by the Department of Homeland Security and FEMA. What does that tell you? Weren't you the one that sent me that thing about all the coffins that FEMA has?
Yeah.
No,
that was sent to me from a friend in a different state that has seen them.
I've seen them, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. In your state?
Yep. Yep. And then I've seen a bunch of them leave today on a ship to go to the Philippines.
Wow. Now with the grid testing, what is that? Kind of like your power's on, they just stick something into the grid?
Yeah.
Why?
They control the grid. Basically, they can control everything.
Well, I get that, you know, but I mean, it's freezing out. It's not like it's, you know, 70 degrees and not humid, and it's a nice breezy kind of day, you know?
Because today here it was 82 and sunny.
I'm very proud of you. It was 21 degrees this morning. Yeah, I know you don't miss it.
Left just in time.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I don't know. You know, I've heard things between, like, with the cameras, and then people are talking about, like, you know, meteor showers that, you know, this is why certain types of coffins are coming to play and stuff. I don't know.
Well, you know, every once in a while you see that jet with the white stream behind it?
Yeah.
And they're flying through the clouds, and then And then later on that day or at night, it rains?
Yeah.
What? Relation the clouds with stuff. And for Melody's question about how the military feels about this,
mm-hmm.
you know, I've asked some guys during the day in my travels around the ship, and they're not going to do it.
I didn't know that things were being put in to cause it to rain.
Oh,
is that like an acid rain or something?
There's all kinds of shit up there that they put in the clouds to do things.
Wow.
Like, you know, I got a video for this guy who the judge told him his time in Iraq made him a threat to society. So let me play this.
What are the two types of people in this world? The quick and the dead.
What are you?
The quick.
What are they?
The dead.
Son.
all part of the training I received while I was in the United States Army. I joined just after September 11th. They train you to harness a deep inner rage, a hidden rage, a rage that most people don't even know they have. In combat, that rage can keep you alive. But at home, that rage can kill you. Let me back up a second and tell you why I joined the Army. Most of you can probably remember where you were on September 11th. I will remember for the rest of my life. I was working as a forklift operator just out of high school. I'm driving around, and everyone disappeared. I don't know where anybody is. So I head up to the front of the building, and everybody's around a small 13-inch TV. As I walk up, I watch the second plane hit the Twin Towers. I knew at that moment that I was going to join the military. Before I made it to Iraq, I spent about a year in Central America. It was beautiful. This is the upside to the Army. You get to see the world. I spent about a year bouncing around the jungles of Panama, Nicaragua, Honduras. I fell in love with the culture. I got to see and try new things. I even got to swim in the Atlantic and the Pacific in the same day without getting on an airplane. The good times didn't last, though. In 2004, my unit received orders to deploy to the Middle East in support of Operation Iraqi Freedom. We were going to be stationed in Tikrit, Iraq, Saddam Hussein's hometown, right in the heart of the Sunni Triangle. About halfway through my tour, we received orders to go to Fallujah. At the time, the insurgents controlled the entire city of Fallujah, and we were sent in to recapture the city. I was a turret gunner hanging out of the top of a 50, hanging out of the top of a Humvee on a 50 cal. And I was going to be the eyes and ears of the convoy. The drive from Tikrit to Fallujah was only supposed to take about 10 hours, even with the slow military vehicles. But the enemy had other plans. On the way down, they started blowing up bridges and setting up ambushes along the way. We would redirect our path each time we'd come into a new contact. And after 36 hours with nonstop combat, no sleep, and high stress, your mind starts to play tricks on you. I start seeing things that aren't there, start hearing things that aren't there. You start to lose control of your rage. At some point, the second night with no sleep, I must have fell asleep, dozed off, the cool air rocking me to sleep, because I awoke to total chaos, gunfire. I remember hearing the AK-47 rounds hitting the side of the Humvee just inches from my head, tink, 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 tink. I woke up, fear washed over me. I remember the pink glow of RPGs shooting through the air in every direction. Total chaos, explosions all around me. I lit up the 50 cal. Thump, 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 moving from one target to the next. In the middle of all this chaos, I could hear somebody laughing. I thought to myself, who could be laughing at a time like this? And then I realized it was me laughing. I felt like I was finally losing control of that rage they taught me to harness. Come time to leave Iraq, and they asked for volunteers to stay. They needed somebody to find and neutralize the IEDs that were killing so many people. It wasn't a decision that I took lightly, but if I didn't volunteer, they were going to pick people. And I wasn't married, I didn't have kids, and I didn't want them to pick somebody with a family. So I volunteered for a second tour. That second tour, we spent 3 or 4 vehicles to go out every day. We'd drive about 10 miles an hour down the road, barely moving. We'd look at the side of the road, try to find the IEDs, improvised explosive device, and we'd wait for the road to blow up on us. While in Iraq, I lost 7 of my best friends. forgive me. My transition home was difficult, to say the least. I was paranoid. I carried a pistol on me at all times. I assessed the threat level of every person or place I came in contact with. Driving through my family's neighborhood, I drove in the middle of the street in fear that the road was going to blow up and kill me. Outside, I look like every other 21-year-old college student. I bought the newest clothes. I played beer pong, chased girls, rooted for the Buckeyes. But inside, there was something wrong. After a few months, my family and friends convinced me that there was something wrong and I needed some help. I went to the VA, walk-in mental health clinic, and I told them, you guys got to help me. I'm going to hurt someone. I don't want to. I carry a pistol to protect myself. Here. They gave me a prescription for a sleep aid and sent me on my way and told me to come back in 6 months. I didn't make it 6 months. A few months later, I was out with some friends. We were drinking. We were having a good time. I'd been drinking every day to deal with my issues. It's hard to think of yourself as an alcoholic when you're playing beer pong, but you're drinking every day, you're an alcoholic. We're out, we're having some drinks, and an argument erupted over a girl. Someone pulled out a knife, and I snapped. I pulled out my pistol. The prosecutor said, I moved through the room in a tactical manner, clearing the room, laid everybody on the ground. I took the knife from him, and I began beating him. And I beat him. And I beat him. A few days later, I got arrested for attempted murder and several other charges, some I did, some I didn't do. When I went in for sentencing, my judge told me, Mr. Chambers, your service is a double-edged sword. Your time in Iraq makes you a threat to society, and I have a civil obligation to lock you up. I received 10 years, and here I am today. Some of you that are familiar with the TEDx format, probably waiting on my call to action, but you just did it. Find a veteran and listen to a story. A lot of us just need somebody to talk to.
Turn! Action! Sorry. It's okay. You're home now, man. It's over. You're safe. Welcome home. Addy!
Heavy shit right there.
Wow. Yeah.
Yep. What do you think about that? Tell me what you guys think about that.
I think it's tragic. It is. Someone that signed up to do the right thing and went to jail. That's what's tragic.
Yeah, but I don't blame him. I blame the VA.
No, I know. And that's what I meant.
Am I
that's
in?
What's...
Here's the pill. Come back in 6 months.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah. Hi, Eunice.
Hey. I think it's tragic. Real tragic. Take a pill and come back in 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong? I mean, the VA should know what the hell's going on. You know, to treat our guys like that's sickening. I get so upset when I hear stories. I heard a story just like that, you know. I mean, I can't believe it. Come back in 6 months.
Bill, when I hear nobody... Bill, when I hear it every day.
Oh, God, I'm telling you. They should have their heads slapped. You know, really.
I don't think it's so much that. I think because in the society of having wars, I don't care if it's from World War One, excuse me, the presence, nobody wants to be bothered. You know, this is how I feel, my opinion. You know, it's like, okay, we're going to take you. You volunteered, you signed up, or we wanted you, whatever the case may be. You're in. We're training you to be the best that you can be. You're in for X amount of years, whatever, okay? And supposedly they're supposed to be trained. They're not trained, but they're supposed to be kind of like retaught and being back in to society from being in wars. The unfortunate thing is everything is short-staffed at the VAs. The paperwork is nothing but red tape up the ass and beyond.
You know something, Nara? That's bullshit. This is
the
United States.
But unfortunately, that's the reality
VA
of the VA.
The staff, please. Well,
wait, let her talk.
I can't take that.
Let her talk.
But in regards to all the bullshit you have to go through with the red tape and all the paperwork, if you come back a wounded warrior, if you come back with PS, if you come back with anything, you have to have paperwork in detail. You have to have whoever was in charge and certain things, you know, make sure that they're able to stand up. Yes, this is what took place. There's so much paperwork to get through anywhere to get the person in, to get anything done. By the time they get in, you know, they feel like there's nothing there. You know, and this is what is sad. They volunteer or they go in on their own. And they come back, and they're treated like shit. And they have to wait and wait and wait and wait and hope with some of them they don't have that ticking time bomb ready to go off inside of them because they don't know how to cope.
Well, Nara.
Go ahead.
My father was in World War II. And you talk about horror shows. He, when they were on detail, they found women that were in villages that were pregnant and their stomach was cut open and the baby was hanging out of it. You know, my father would never talk about that. He, only towards the end of his life did he ever talk about that. And he held that in for years and years, you know, of the horror that the Japanese did to these villages looking for Americans and vice versa, you know. I mean,
right.
Can you imagine them coming back and a lot of them seeing that? And they had the same thing. They didn't have the quality of getting met, you know, getting helped on the battlefield, you know. They didn't have that. These guys here, they don't know where it's going to hit them. The guys now that go over to Iraq and stuff like that, they just get blown up. They're not getting shot. They're just getting blown up. And for people to say that the VA is overwhelmed, well, this is America. How come our country, how come our presidents that don't make sure that these guys are taken care of? Because we got assholes in Washington. Do you think their kids are out there in Iraq? I don't think so.
No.
They get away with going to college and shit like that. Bill, you know that as well as I do. You know, their boys aren't out there.
No.
We got a fucked up country. That's what we got. Who comes first? The men that protect this country. They should be the ones that come first, and they should be the ones that are helped. And they're not.
No.
and they're not, and that pisses me off. If they can go out there and fight for us, the women and the men of the United States of America, and they can't get the quality help that they deserve.
No.
You know? And now it's a sign-up thing. These people sign up to do it. It's not like they have the draft. I mean, that's disgusting that our country don't protect their own people. There's going to come a time when they're going to want them and they're not going to be there to go in. I get pissed off when I hear shit like that.
What are you going to do when it happens here? It's coming.
What can you do? Of course I know it's coming. You know something? I hope I'm not around when it does come. I hope I'm not around when it does come.
It's coming soon.
Yep.
You know, Homeland Security and FEMA, which fucks every modern American, are doing a grid test today and tomorrow.
I think it was down here because the last 2 days, today and yesterday, I woke up and it showed, like, no signal, like, on TV, you know, like, something and stopped it, you know what I mean, to get any kind of signal. We didn't lose power. I don't know.
No, this country is killed. This country is killing itself. You know,
yeah.
We're going to end up in the revolution. You wait and see. People are going to be fighting their own kind. It's.
Yeah, but it already started.
Oh, I believe it has.
Well, what I mean is, like, in regards with the different riots that took place in Washington, people stood up. People rose up and said, we're coming. And when's the last time you saw that?
Well, you've seen it in World War II, but they were going after the right people at that time. So, I was a war baby. I didn't see my father until the war was over. You know? The war broke out, was it December 4th of 41? And I was born April of 41. Of course, I don't remember that, you know. But I didn't see him until he came home from his service. And I don't know how he used to do it, because when he come home, he worked for Wyman and Gordon. And the women took over those jobs more or less, you know, when they were away. But he had such a calm about him. We used to live up on a hill, and the three-decker was up on the hill. It was a short hill, you know. But my father would come home from work, and us girls, I remember that, be, you know, standing near the window there, and he'd whistle, you know, to let us know he was on his way, you know. He would whistle. I remember that so clearly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he was a good dad until all hell broke loose, you know. But I miss him. I miss him today. And he kind of lost it all when he got prostate cancer and he drank himself to death.
Wow.
That was a sad part, drank himself to death.
Mm-hmm.
He used to work Sunday night through Thursday. Thursday night was his last, so he'd have Friday and Saturday night off. And he'd come home and he'd have a half a gallon of vodka and a case of beer. And he would drink that whole half a gallon over the weekend, a shot and a beer, because that's how they used to drink, was a shot and a beer, you know.
That's the way I learned how to drink. Trust me.
Yep. Yep.
Really?
A shot and a beer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he used to sing to us, you know. And that's why I remember all the old songs in the 40s. And he used to let me stand on his shoes, on his feet, when he had his shoes on. And we'd dance, you know. I remember that. We'd dance around the kitchen because we had a very big kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, those are the things you think about, you know. Those are the things that brings back a lot of good memories. And then when my dad and mom broke up, we went from a 7-room apartment down to a 4-room apartment. And
seven room apartment?
Yeah. Yeah. In Massachusetts, that's what they had, 7 rooms and the 3-deckers.
Wow.
And we went from having a bathroom with a tub to just having a bathroom in the hallway. And we used to take our baths in a round steel tub in the pantry, you know.
Uh-huh.
We went from being halfway, you know, comfortable and to being very poor.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I think I told this story before. I would watch the kids after my dad and mom broke up. I'd watch these people behind us. Their kids would be sitting on the porch eating watermelon in the summertime, you know. And my mother couldn't afford watermelon, believe that or not. And when I had my children, I always made sure there was a watermelon or a half a watermelon in the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
When they got into their teens, they said to me, "Mom, what the hell you got watermelon in there for? We don't eat it." See, I put it in there because I knew that how I felt when I was a kid, you know, and I didn't want my kids to feel that way. But it's amazing how you, you know, take what you've learned in your life and pass it on to the rest. The only thing is they never listened, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I told my daughter the other day, she says, "My daughters don't listen to me." And I says, "Well, touche." "Did you ever listen to me?"
Yeah.
You know? I says, "Well, look back on it, you know." So it's amazing. It's really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I bet it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Because any parent just wants the best for their children, you know. And I remember so clearly, nobody ever gave me a book on being a mother. And, Phil, I'm sure they never gave you a book on being a father. You know, it's Nara, the same thing. And you just wish, you know, that you can take your knowledge and just pass it on to them. But they will believe a complete stranger before they believe you.
I know. I don't understand,
you know.
That.
Yeah,
but,
I don't either. But you look back, I didn't believe my mother either. I thought she was just trying to protect me, you know. And, I mean, it's just an ongoing thing.
Well, you
but
know,
at
I
least
think,
we had. Go ahead,
I
I'm
see,
sorry.
I if I got something new, it's because my cousins are good.
Yeah. You know.
But, I'm trying to find this thing because this was, they had a special tribute to veterans today on Price is Right. So check this out. This is, some people are doing the right thing.
Tell the story, Stan. This gentleman, my mother, who is 92, alive and well and wonderful now, was in a concentration camp when she was 20 years old. She was in there for a few years. And this gentleman told me he liberated Buchenwald, so he saved my mother, and I wouldn't be alive today. Story?
Believe that? Sometimes it's a small world after all.
Well, I don't know if I ever told you the story when I it's amazing. I told Hermes about it. When I had my big surgery in 2008, I had a colostomy, and I was in Walmart, and it exploded in the ladies' room, and there was nobody around. And it was a total mess. And I'm there crying because I don't know how I'm going to get out there to buy a new pair of pants and underwear, you know, and how to stop this. Well, the door opened up in the bathroom, and the woman heard me crying, and I says, you know, she says, can I help you? And I says, could you just give me a whole bunch of paper towels and that, you know, and go out and I'll give you the money and buy me a pair of pants and some underpants. And she says, sure, I'll do that. She says, and what's the problem? And I told her. I mean, I don't have to go into detail about it. But this woman took her two boys and brought them outside. And I remember her saying to me, what's your name? And I told her, Eunice, you know. And there's not too many people named Eunice in this world, you know. So she went outside, and she actually come into the stall with me, and she helped me clean up and did all the right things. And as she was, and it was right around Christmas time. And as she was leaving, you know, I says, and what's your name? And she says, Ellen, you know. And she says, I'm a hospice nurse. So I said, oh, thank you so much for doing what you did. You know, that's wonderful you did it, you know. And I really didn't, I'm sorry, I didn't tell her my name. So as she was going out the door, she said to me, Merry Christmas, Eunice. And I'm, you know, after a while, I said to myself, I don't think I told her my name, you know, because I was so upset. So I was on Hermes's show that night, and I said, if Ellen, if you're listening to this show, you know, please call me, you know. So anyway, she wasn't listening, but a friend of hers was listening, and she called me, you know, on my home phone. And, you know, I said to her, you know, did I tell you my name? And she says, no, but I knew who you were. And I says, how did you know who I was? She says, because your facial hasn't changed, and I only always knew one Eunice. And I said, do I know you? And she says, not particularly. She says, I met you once. We were living in the project. And she says, you were like 17. And she says, my brother had been stabbed. And he was down in a flight of stairs where you would go into the cellar, you know. And she says, I was screaming, and you come over, and she says, you took your fist, and you put it right in his wound. Because back then, the ambulance didn't come like it does now. And I'm talking like in the, you know, the 50s, you know. And she says, but I'll never forget your face. And she says, you saved my brother. Now, isn't that an amazing story?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, so good deeds, when you do good deeds, they come back to you one way or the other, you know. It's not like that nowadays. It really isn't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Children have no, you know, very few children have respect for people that are, even my husband doesn't have respect for me, Phil, and I'm older than him. I tell him, respect your elders, you know. Well, I got to tell you, I got a bing on the new car. One of the
mm-hmm.
avocados fell from the tree and hit the top of the fender. And I'm saying, oh, my God, you know. And it was a pretty, it was like somebody put their fist. But the paint or anything didn't, you know, there was no paint chips or anything. So just by
mm-hmm.
sheer luck, I tell a friend of mine down here, and he says, call this guy because this happened to me, you know. And the guy, let me get the thing, it says, do you have a ding in your car? Really, that's what it says. It says call 1-800-DING, you know. And I called the guy, and the guy's name was Mark, and he come over today. And he worked an hour and a half to get that bump out, and he charged $75. Now, do
wow.
you know how much it would cost if you called your insurance company and did all that stuff, you know? I couldn't believe it, so I said, give me some of your cards.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to tell people, you know? But the guy's been doing it for 17 years, and I says, how'd you learn how to do that? He says, in the service.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I learned how to do that in the service, bang out these dings without ruining them, you know? pieces. So I started a business up in New York, and then I moved down here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine that for $75 to get that out. What do you think it would have cost if we had to bring it in to get it fixed?
I don't know. Probably $400 or $500, because it'd have to repaint the car, they said. That's what they tell you.
Yeah.
I mean, I pulled a guy his own doors back once, but I mean, all I did was buff mom put it back on the car.
My husband had a couple of dings on his car. Like, I'd really like to shoot this car. You know, it's a 96, and it's it has no heater in the wintertime, but it's got a nice air conditioner in the summer. I don't know how this man ever rode to work every day in the winter with this car.
Yeah.
I just don't know how he did it. And it's not like he can't afford to get himself a halfway decent car.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm getting ready for my cruise.
Yay.
Yeah. And then this Saturday night, I'm having about 15 people here that I usually cook for Thanksgiving when I'm down here. So I'm going to do Thanksgiving Saturday night with them.
Oh.
You know.
How many veterans you inviting?
How many vets did I invite?
Hmm?
Two.
Okay. Why just two?
Two that I know.
Why just two?
Because I don't know anymore, Phil. I really don't.
Have you asked them if they know anybody?
We're in a senior citizen community.
It's got to be full of vets.
Well, I'm sure they are. You know, I never asked them if they were vets or not. I'm sure they are.
Well, maybe you want to put up a little... Because I'm having Thanksgiving and I'm making food for some vets. And if you're a vet, you're more than welcome.
Well, maybe I'll do that.
There you go.
You know.
There you
maybe
go.
Maybe I'll do that. But I do it every year for these people, you know. Because they wouldn't... You know, some don't have family anymore, and they just love it, and they always bring something, you know. So we do a buffet, you know, I do it a buffet style. So I bring in another table, set that up, and, you know, it'll be a good time. It's always a good time. And I do that at Christmas time, too, when I was here, but I'm going home this year for Christmas. So...
Well, I just want to say Melody has to go, but she said thank you and keep doing what we're doing. So
who's
I
that?
Told her Melody. She's a friend of mine from out here, from up in LA.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah.
Well,
Justin called me and never mind. I'll talk to you about it later.
I was telling Nora about some stuff earlier where, you know, everybody thinks Hermes is kind of on the crazy side when he says about the planes that leave the jet stream behind them, that they're
yep.
left with things.
Yeah.
And, Monsanto's behind that one.
Really?
Yep.
I haven't heard from him. I got to give him a call. You know?
Yeah, he's the one that sent me to talk about Homeland Security and FEMA today. Nora, you got that article close? Why don't you pull it up and read it?
For FEMA?
No, for the one I showed you about the clouds.
Okay. I have them right here. Snowden. Now, Snowden was known for going public with everyone being told about how the government has the largest spy center in Utah and how all of our calls and everything that had been monitored since actually the 80s. Anyhow, the same person, Mr. Snowden, reveals Monsanto collusion with government to create chemtrails. Now, I'll explain to you what it is. You already know about Snowden unveiling the secret of heavy government surveillance via the NSA and the CIA and its own people. But the whistleblower has released another information bomb that will make chemtrail watchers and suspects of the conspiracy of a eugenics program sit up and listen. According to Snowden, chemtrails are part of a benevolent program to stop global warming. By cooperating with Jeff Fuel manufacturers, the government has been spraying the skies with chemicals in order to keep us from severe drought and other weather-related patterns, which would cause famine, if I pronounce that right, in large swaths of the United States. But here's the biggest shocker. With cooperation from Monsanto, a secret geoengineering lab was set up, known by insiders as the Crown Jewel or Maud Gibb. This lab has been operating since the 60s without the knowledge of the people. Climate change is a big threat to big ag, but is a part of another smear campaign to hide deeper truths about what chemtrails are actually doing us. There is no doubt Monsanto is capable of something like this, but is this just a government attempt to address what is becoming exceedingly clear to more people all the time, that our skies are full of poison trails that aren't contrails at all? Snowden has supposedly gone on record to say, I am only revealing this program because there is no oversight in the scientific community, no public discussion, and no concern for the side effects, which are well known only to a few privileged people, you know, interested in continuing the decades-long chemtrail program in secret. Snowden also stated that the Maud Gibb program was set to go forward at all costs, even if it meant accelerating desertification in Africa or spreading carcinogens over countless people in populated areas. Scientists even predicted many of the side effects we are seeing now, including droughts in the Amazon and windstorms throughout the East Coast. Snowden shared documents through the Internet Chronicle, which also published rumors of the supposed suicide. Names of scientists were not disclosed in order to prevent them from being targeted by our governments or foreign counterintelligence. According to Snowden, if chemtrails were stopped, the scientists behind the program believe that our climate would spiral out of control. Deciding whether or not you believe Snowden's story is up to you. But the mere unveiling of a reason behind chemtrails means that someone noticed. We are noticing the additives being released by even passenger planes now have been filmed across the world by people in countries as varied as Australia, Europe, Asia, from California to Michigan. We aren't the only ones being sprayed. The true reasons behind chemtrails and geoengineering are probably yet to be completely disclosed. It's amazing. Now, some people look at chemtrails. I have talked with some people where they think chemtrails is a way to reduce, as it's stated in regards to population. you know, to bring it down. So,
well, North Korea tried that yesterday.
Actually, this, huh?
North Korea tried that yesterday. They executed 50 people in the street.
Yeah. And you know how many people that's happened in other countries? It's disgusting. And for what?
Because they can't.
True. But you know what? I remember ever since being a kid, always seeing the lines. Always.
Mm-hmm.
And then people, oh, that's jet fuel. Meaning, not anybody that's military or anything like that. Just regular Joe Smoes, you know. Oh, that's just how planes, you know, because they fly at such fast, you know, speed. This is like, you know, if you give gas to a car. That's how it was explained to me when I was a kid. Because I used to sit there and I'd look up and, why are there lines in the sky? Here comes the plane, poof, here's that big, huge thing of smoke. Never understood what it was.
They called it a vapor trail. But I always used to get told, it's a vapor trail.
But you know what? Now, I can't say much about it except for what's been told to me. So you have to probably look at it in this coincidence. Now here with the chemtrails taking place, remember back in Vietnam when they were spraying for Agent Orange, and look at how many men, women, children became hideously sick, and where a lot of them couldn't have children because they had severe birth defects. You know, I mean, is this actually what it is? Slowly taking us out? Or is it just something that they're doing? If it is actually true, then, you know, a climate control. Why do they feel the need to do climate control? What has been done so horrible to this earth to control climate?
Our government's done a lot of shit that we don't know about.
Oh, of course. We never will.
It must be amazing to have that kind of power, you know? Do you ever sit back and... Go ahead.
No, I cut you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that... Has anybody ever really sat back and tried to figure out, you know, people question about God or a higher power or whatever, you know? How did this world ever start? Only what we're taught, you know? Yeah. I mean, we have to have a higher power, no matter if it's God or Allah or whatever, you know, who had started this world. You know, made the trees, made people, you know. And,
right, well,
you know, people
I,
say, go ahead.
Well, hold on. 716.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Did you want to talk or just
go ahead
listen?
With what? I only came in like, you know, the middle of the conversation there. All I heard was higher power,
well,
God.
I'll let her finish.
Okay.
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
No, but I mean, really, have you ever really thought about it, you know? I have, you know. People say, well, if we have a God, how come he lets all these terrible things happen, you know? God doesn't do it. It's people that do it. You know, I mean, that's, I'm not putting my beliefs on anybody. Everybody has a right to feel and think the way they want to. But, you know, I've gone through a lot of things in my lifetime. And if I hadn't gone through those things, I'd be a very boring person. And it's made me a stronger person. It's made me a person willing to get out there and fight for whatever I believe in. And, my thoughts are, yeah, you know, when my son was murdered, I said, you know, where was my God? Why did this happen? And on the other hand, I've sat there, and the one thing that I don't think I could ever deal with is if my child ever killed somebody, you know. And I believe God looked down at that particular time and says, okay, I'm going to bring him home before he does this. And this is something that I have to believe in, you know, in order for me to get along. And you know, I try to do good things, not, you know, for myself, not for anybody else, but I don't really get, the only thing I ever get out there and brag about is this bill that I've worked so hard with so many people to get passed. But the bill's not for me, and it's not for the people that I work for. It's for our children, you know. And they should be the most important thing to anybody in this world, is to protect our children from assholes who likes to rape them, you know. Or anybody that's ever got sexually and physically abused, I think they should be put up against a wall and all shot, you know. But I believe in my higher power, and I thank him every day when I wake up. Thank you, I'm still alive, you know. And what do you want me to do today? And just you know, I have a woman next door to me, and she's Jewish, and she's 86 years old, and she's got more energy than I do, but, you know, if I'm going the same place, or I'll take her, you know. I try to do one good thing a day, and she's very appreciative of it, you know. And then you get jerks, you know.
Yeah.
This guy cut me off, and at one time today, I would have chased the bastard down, you know. But I'm saying, hey, what do I want to do that for, you know, get into a consultation with him. But it's, you know, you got to have something to believe in, you know. You've got to, and you've got to question it.
Here's a guy I used to believe in when I was a kid. And I don't know if you guys remember the show All in the Family, but this guy, they called him Archie Bunker. But he predicted the conditions.
Of course I remember him. I love that show.
Hang on. He predicted the conditions under Obama. It's a little video.
I will not pretend the hard times are over. Difficult days lie ahead. More jobs will be lost. More plants will close. More dealerships will shut their doors, and so will many parts suppliers. But I want you to know that what you're doing is making a sacrifice for the next generation. A sacrifice you may not have chose to make, but a sacrifice you were nevertheless called to make, so that your children and all of our children can grow up in America that still makes things.
Well, the Democrats' way of running this country is to go tell us all how we ought to make sacrifices. God did great on that stuff. But they're all going to have us over here to the poorhouse. We ain't going to be able to drive over there because we ain't got no gas, so we're going to have to walk.
Now, let me be clear. Let me be absolutely clear. Because I know you'll end up hearing some of the same claims that rolling back these tax breaks means a massive tax increase on the American people.
I want my insurance back. Now, Archie, I'm afraid it's not as simple as that. You see, this little code listing up here in the corner indicates you're in what we call an HRN.
HRN, what's that?
A high-risk neighborhood.
What is that?
Well, Uncle Archie, now let me make this perfectly clear.
Heard that before. Let me be absolutely clear.
Because you ain't going to sell me none of your progressive pink or welfare ideas.
So where have you got to get welfare?
Everything. I am sick and tired of people like you giving my hard-earned money to a bunch of families who ain't even related to me.
Last month we marked the 8th anniversary of the attacks on 9/11, and on that terrible day when terrorists brought so much death and destruction on our shores and so many lives were lost, many of you were the first on the scenes, saving lives, working tirelessly to bring those responsible to justice, and guarding against future attacks in subsequent weeks and months and years.
And that's your stick-ups in your skyjackets, which, if that was up to me, I could end the skyjacket tomorrow.
You could?
All you gotta do is arm all your passengers. I mean, he ain't got no more superiority there, and he ain't gonna dare to pull out no rod. And then your airlines, then they wouldn't have to chase the passengers on the ground no more. They just pass out the pistols at the beginning of the trip, and then put them up and down at the end. It's close.
Because, you know, it is just wonderful to be back in Oregon, and over the last 15 months, we've traveled to every corner of the United States. I've now been in 57 states. I think one left to go. Alaska and Hawaii I was not allowed to go to, even though I really wanted to visit, but my staff would not justify it.
And we have dead from the neck up.
Nobody made a sound when that show was on when I was a kid.
I loved
when
I was a kid. What show was it?
He predicted that a long, long time ago.
All in the Family. Oh, okay. I love that show. I was raised with that. My grandmother watched that faithfully.
He predicted that a long time ago. It wasn't just Obama. It was every president that we had in there. They allowed
that. Another guy that's going to tell us it goes by just us, but he's going to tell you about how to do things. He says, juries have the power to judge the facts of the case as well as the law itself. So.
Hey there, guys. Ben Swan here. Okay, so I'm here with Luke Radowski, with Angela Keaton and Tatiana Morose, Jeff Berwick, Josh Talley, Jordan Page, Joby Weeks, and Bob Murphy. They're all sitting around here like the Last Supper. But here's what we're actually doing. We're doing something called jury nullification that we want to promote to you guys. It's a new kind of venture that we're starting. It's called Just Us. And the whole idea here, you hear all these people talking about how their vote doesn't count, and it doesn't matter if I even go to the ballot box, and it's all rigged, and I have no voice, and I have no power, and they complain a lot. I know it's not you, but some people do that, right? Well, here's what we want to do. We want to inspire you to start taking advantage of the power you actually do have when you vote. And we're not talking about in the ballot box. We're talking about on a jury. How many of you get called for jury duty, and when you get it, you're like ducking underneath your desk and saying, oh, I don't want to go do that, and it's a pain in the butt, and I don't want to spend any time with it. Listen, when you get called for jury duty, you are given the power to actually go into a courtroom and decide someone's innocence or guilt. What kind of power is that? Well, think about this. For all the liberty-loving folks out there who talk about victimless crimes, you have the power to decide that someone who commits a victimless crime doesn't go to jail for it. One juror on one jury has the ability to change one person's life. If 10 of us do that, if 1,000 of us do it, if 10,000 of us do it, we start creating real, lasting change. We just did a story about this on BenSwan.com. You guys might have seen it. There's a guy in Washington, D.C. He's putting up posters all over the place trying to educate people about this. And we're like, posters? All of us have YouTube channels with tons of subscribers. Why don't we ask our subscribers to become a part of a movement to say, instead of running away from juries, let's run towards them. Let's run towards courtrooms. Go in there and flood courtrooms all over the country and acquit people who, again, have committed victimless crimes. And let me be clear. We're not asking you to go in there and screw up the system. The justice system is designed for justice. So if you believe a victimless crime should not send someone to prison, then do that. But don't go in there and get murderers off and rapists off and child molesters off. We don't want you to do that. We want you to do the right thing. That's what justice is all about. Join us. Just Us Movement. You can find out more at BenSwan.com or any of these guys' YouTube channels.
Because there's a lot of people going to jail here in California, go to jail for pot for years. Second and third offense for years.
That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah, but Eunice, over here where we're at, Massachusetts, for a while there, they were locking people up for possession. They were going away for a good little bit on just weed charges. That only, what, recently has kind of, like, turned around?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're a fucked up straight state anyways. You know. I mean, like I told you, I love animals as well as anybody else. My Patrick is my baby. But they passed a law to protect dogs before they passed a law to protect children. So
yeah,
you tell me how fucked up they are, you know?
Yep.
And that's a true story. It's easy for them to pass bills that to a lot of people don't mean a goddamn thing, you know? I mean, I bring it up to them, you know? How can you pass a bill to protect dogs and you're not passing this bill to protect children? You know, you're the one that looks
right.
like the asshole, not me. You know? I mean,
yep.
come on. It's ridiculous. Totally ridiculous. That the one person can have that much power over controlling, you know, like the Speaker of the House, he controls that fucking thing. You
right.
know, in plain English. You know, he controls it. So... How does somebody get that much power, you know?
That's true right there.
They allow it. The mm-hmm. representatives allow it. And I'll tell you something, if somebody doesn't back them up, they get rid of them. They do. They get rid of them. They make up some kind of fictitious story to embarrass them, and they give them the option either to walk away, you know, nice and calmly or don't, you know, and 99% of them walk away because they don't want their reputation screwed up.
Yeah.
That's politics. I mean, come on, let's face it, it's, you know, it's all about who's who and who's going to do this and who's going to do that, you know. And I say these things, and you want to know something, Stacey and Nara?
Well,
I don't give a shit with what I say to them.
Right.
You know, common sense means, you know, you got to kind of play it cool. Fuck that, play it cool. It's the truth. You know, it's the truth. Are they going to come up and kiss my ass and pass this bill? You know, and you can't get the media to do anything on it. Isn't that amazing? You can't get the media to do anything on it.
The media... It's controlled on some level, you know?
Of course. You know, call us if you have a story. Well, don't you think that's a story? Pardon?
Control on.
That's right. That's right. You know, I had one person say to me, Eunice, you know, you got to kind of cool it. You know, we got to, you know, do a few things to it. I'm not kissing anybody's ass. You know? And I'll say it until the day I die. I'm not kissing anybody's ass. And I don't expect anybody to kiss my ass either. Oh, I'd like someone to kiss my ass, but, you know. You're supposed to laugh, guys.
I did laugh. I did.
You know, that would be wonderful. Maybe I'll find somebody on the cruise. I told you, my sister was down at the other end of, in the front of the boat when this cruise thing started. Guess what she did? She upgraded and moved down near my end. So I said to her the other night on the phone, I says, how can I sneak a guy into my room? You know, you're right there. So she says, I won't tell anybody. She's got the biggest mouth in the world. You shitting me? He's going to have to come in through the balcony. You know? What can I say? But I did. I went out and spent money and bought some new clothes so I can be the belle of the ball. So I can get someone to ring the bells.
Ring the bells or your bell?
My bell. You know, and I don't mean the doorbell either. So
my daughter has an audition on The Voice.
Nice.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Great.
Her audition is in January. She's got to go out to Philly, PA. And if she makes it past, I guess, this audition, then she goes in front of the actual TV people, so
it really that'd be great.
We shall see what happens. It's going to be very interesting.
She'll make it.
Yeah.
Now, what is the voice?
It's a singing show. It's got Christina Aguilera, Adam Levine, CeeLo Green.
Oh, that show. Okay. It's Christina Aguilera and the two guys that sit in the chair.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Gotcha. Okay.
As, you know, the Western singer there, what's his name?
Oh,
the
country guy, Blake Shelton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see all the awards he won?
Oh, yeah. He's a pretty good country artist.
Yeah. He won a lot of awards.
But I know my daughter, if she were to get picked, she'd definitely go after Adam Levine. She's a big Maroon 5 fan. So.
Really?
Oh, that guy is awesome.
Yeah.
He's got a good voice.
He's got a sexy body. Let's get real here.
Yeah,
he
does.
He's great in just nothing but his underwear.
I was just being nice.
Hell, this ain't the place to be nice. Shoot. No, Adam Levine's a hot little mess, let me tell you that. Whew. But, you know, and I know I'm just Mama Bear coming to the rescue, but I told my daughter she wasn't allowed to drive from where she lives to PA, especially, you know, everybody thinks Philly is so wonderful, and there are beautiful sections of Philly, but there's a bad side of Philly too, and I've been there several times, and I told her, I'm like, she ain't going down there without me, so I'm going with her, and that'll be even more interesting. Yeah.
Well, you should.
Take a bond in the number.
But I swear to God, I'll kick her if we're standing outside on a block corner, 20 feet down, over to the left, and up another corner for this damn audition. I'll be like livid because PA in the month of January is cold. So.
Are you sure about that?
No. My God.
It's getting cold here sooner than that. Ooh.
It is true. But we shall see. We shall see what happens.
Well, my prayers will
still
be
dig there.
Thank you. I will tell her that.
She'll do good. Is there a certain song that she's going to sing that
I guess you don't know? She had got an audition the year she graduated high school. And the thing was is that the audition was during the time when she left for basic training.
Right.
So she had to cancel the audition, and there's some type of thing with that, too. You can only cancel once and so many times, blah, 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 et cetera, because you send in a video of yourself singing, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
So she basically, this time, it's do or die, you know. She had other things going on, and she kind of chickened out, but I guess now she's, you know, gonna go full speed ahead. We shall see.
That's okay, you know, that's awesome. It's not, you know, she's young. I'm sure she has a great voice. I can't say that I've heard her sing.
You know,
I haven't, but
you know something? The first time I heard my daughter sing was her freshman year in high school. They had put on some type of, you know, Christmas performance, and she was always in chorus. And she got a solo part, and she chose not to tell me she was singing. And when I seen her approach the mic and she started singing, I sat there dumbfounded, totally, totally flawed. I couldn't believe what I was hearing because I never heard her sing like that. And it just, I'll never forget it. Yeah, my daughter's got a really good voice. I mean, does she have of a voice that could take her somewhere professionally? I don't know because I'm not an expert. I have no clue. But I know what I heard was good. So we shall see.
Wow.
That's great.
So awesome. She'll get it, and she'll get to get up on that stage And look at that Ian Maroon singer. And oh my God,
loves,
that guy is just.
She loves the stage. Yep, she comes to life when they're up on stage doing their thing. But she was outgoing in high school too. She was in Color God. She was with the band. She did chorus, you know, so she always was involved with something. And then she left for the service. She broke her mother's heart and left for the service. And she's not been back since. Oh, well. What are you going to do? They fly the nest.
Mom. Well, guys, it's past my bedtime again. It's terrible to be old.
I don't know. I'm not there yet.
Take care.
Shut up.
I will. You guys take care, too.
You
talk
too.
Good night, guys. Bye-bye.
Good night.
She was doing her breathing exercise. She was doing her breathing exercise.
Yeah. You know, that post that you gave me about, you know, that vehicle from my, that scene in my state? It's not just in that town. They're seen in other places as well. People have told me, I'm like, are you serious? Because I'm saying they're thinking this is like a first-time thing, and they're looking at me like, no, we've seen more than those.
Tell people
more
what you're talking about.
Like in that area, huh?
Tell people what you're talking about.
Oh, now, yesterday, Phil was kind enough to share with me that the Pentagon had sent to a town that's roughly about 50 miles south of me. It's a certain type of vehicle that the military uses, and I'm getting to it right now so I can say exactly what it is and not sound like a goof. Give me just a second. Scrolling fast. Anyways, basically, with the it's a tactical vehicle, one that you would see them use, like, say, over in the Middle East, you know, or in a combat situation.
That's where it all coming from.
Right. It's a new boast. It's a war machine given to a town in my state by the Pentagon. And it's Department Militarization Program. Okay. There's a police department in Kankakee County, which is in Illinois here. They're boasting about how they have this newly equipped vehicle. Okay. And with this vehicle, excuse me, if you need confirmation that America is quickly becoming a police state preparing for civil unrest, look no further than Kankakee County in Illinois. The county has a tactical rescue team in place to respond to special emergencies. Now, if this team were in place to respond to, say, floods, fires, or emergencies of that nature, it would be at least a legit excuse for its existence. But in a video released by the county sheriff, a new tactical response vehicle was obtained for scenarios involving, involving hazardous situations involving firearms. The vehicle is referred to as an MRAP, which stands for Mine Resistant Ambush Protected Vehicle. I was going to say I could play the video, but I'd have to put it on speakerphone. But anyways, now in that county alone, there's 8,500 combat miles is what they're talking about. So, and it's approximately $750,000 training of operators has been initiated, and training with the entire tactical team will be once the operator training is completed. So they are working on people to sit there and use this at needed. But, yes, they do use these with the military in Afghanistan, Iraq, you know. But there's more than that one in the States. I just don't know what the other towns are, but, yeah, they're here. Interesting.
Yeah. Yep, it's crazy.
It is. But, you know, I don't know, like I said, it's, you know, things are changing. Things are going to take place. And that's just what's going.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yeah. So, why not? Do you still have the one I have, the first one I gave you? Did you get it, Stacey?
Me?
Yeah. The one about how to protect your phone from the police?
Oh, I have that.
Yeah, I actually sent that link on to one of my best friend's husband. He wanted to read it. I was explaining it to him.
Yeah, go for it. Read it.
Well, wait a minute. Give me a minute. I got to pull this stuff up. Hold on.
All right, you do that. You do that. I'll let you guys do that. I'll be right back.
Okay.
What happened to you guys?
I'm here. I'm here,
what
too.
Happened? You find it?
Do you want me to?
Yeah.
Yeah, I found it. I thought you said you were going to play something.
No.
All right. No, I got it. You want me to read this whole thing? Because it's pretty long.
Go for it. No, just highlight the good stuff.
Just the good stuff. Okay. Well, it pretty much, the first paragraph pretty much sums it up. Police forces around the country have developed the nasty habit of confiscating the phones of citizens who choose to film them, unilaterally deleting images and video of their actions. Whether that's a Fourth Amendment violation is still being decided by the courts. Until that happens, here's how to protect your phone from prying eyes of cops. The easiest way to protect what's on your phone is not to get it confiscated in the first place. Yeah, sometimes that's easier said than done. When I'm just scanning through this, trying to, all right, a key factor in this, which I found interesting, is the growing number of states that are allowing officers to search phones without a warrant option upon arresting a suspect. There's color codes on the map, and if the state is in red, it means they need nothing to search and seize your phone. And New England, Florida, and Ohio are states in blue, which means they need a warrant and several other different documents to go through your phone. And if they do so, you know, whatever. And the yellow kind of floats along the middle. It goes into detail about how to put your phone on lockdown, to go to your settings in security. You can encrypt your device. And there's special features to protect your phone depending on what system you're on, whether you're on iPhone, Android, et cetera. It goes into detail. For instance, it's even easier on OS for every model after the Apple 3, Apple 4, and up. Basically, Apple offers built-in encryption. All you need to do is enable it and go to Settings, General, Passcode, enable the passcode option, turn off Simple Passcode, and turn on Erase Data. Now, you know, it's pretty much giving you good detail about how to save your stuff, and then it goes into also with the iPhone, if you use their cloud device, which saves everything, you can put settings in for every time that you're recording video for it to automatically post to the internet. So, you know, that's that right there, you know, I personally am beyond the whole, you know, Big Brother's listening, because we know that. We know people can get into our stuff. We know, and I just view it as in it is what it is at this point, you know. But to have that type of save, you know, because you never know what type of situation you're going to be in, to instantly post a video to some social media site, or if you have a YouTube site, whatever, that's like one up on them. Big time. But, and another thing that, did any of you guys watch the Today Show this morning, just by chance?
Uh-huh.
You did?
No.
No, okay. Well, did you see how they're trying to, you know, and it stays on the cell phone topic. They're trying to get all the companies to put a kill switch, basically, in your cell phone. And they're arguing, I guess, the FCC or whoever controls all the cell phone stuff. They sent all the carriers, I guess, letters stating that the technology was there and why wasn't it put in the phone. And then they basically exploded the reasons why, because somebody steals your phone, you have to buy a new one. Or if you have insurance on your phone, you're paying them money anyways. And usually with insurance, you have to put half the phone down anyways. All little cash points, they're making money. And they also had people on the show that actually stole phones for a living. And they targeted older women and middle-aged women, you know, who could be, they were standing there texting and just, like, come up from behind and pow, they got the phone, and all they're doing is selling them for $300-$400 or whatever, you know, somebody needs a bunch of phones. That's what they're doing strategically, and they're living off of that. And the people in charge want all the phone companies to be able to have some type of kill switch. So when your phone's stolen, you contact them, and that's it. Apple's, my phone has one. I've got an iPhone, and it's automatically built in. So pay extra for it. There's a couple of companies out there that have the, I guess, the application, and you have to pay extra for it, and they don't want that in effect. They feel it should be an automatic with every phone. So I found that quite interesting. Because I can understand that, because, like, when you've got, like, lawyers and doctors and different people who do important jobs or jobs that involve lots of paperwork, or any important person in general, you know, you don't want your stuff falling into the wrong hands. And if it was only a matter of a phone call away to have your phone completely go black, that's it, you know. Like, once my phone, one of the feature there, that if that happens, you can't reactivate the phone ever. You can pull the hardware out, do whatever you want to think you can do. And I'm not saying it's not impossible, but they guarantee that it virtually is pretty close to next to impossible. They destroy it. So,
well,
I don't know. Yeah. So technology is going at a very, very rapid rate, you know, because the phones are just capable of so much at the moment. And, like, the house computer is becoming obsolete. Laptops are becoming obsolete. Everybody's working around smaller devices, and those smaller devices can play movies and send text messages and gather friggin' email, you know?
Right, like your tablets and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
What do you get? Where are you able to use a watch?
A what?
You can have a watch phone.
Yeah, I've seen
that.
Yeah. And Google's got an eyeglasses one, too, or some shit like that. But
some lady in San Diego
not,
got a in that. Do you remember?
Say that again?
A lady in San Diego using those got a ticket for talking on the phone.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yep.
Well, you know, whoever has AT&T for, like, their phone service, AT&T just now is allowing the government to listen on all phone conversations.
They can do it on any phone conversation they want. That's
oh,
why,
I
know. I used to get so bent out of shape thinking that, but then I'm like, you know, who am I kidding here? You know, privacy is, you know what, no longer an option, you know, and to find it, you have to find it. It's a necessity. Every now and then we all need to fall off the grid, you know,
right.
But it's not there. And the fact that people even, you know, I don't know, bitch about it, because at this point, are we going to change that stuff? We could talk about it till we're blue in the face, but this is how people are gathering whatever it is they gather and assume whatever it is they assume. And ain't no stopping this shit. It's just ridiculous.
Right. You know, I look at it this way. If you're going to say something that you shouldn't be, then you just don't get on the phone, period.
Yeah.
Mail a letter.
You write a letter. You go and see the person.
I'll tell you what, man. Straight up, God honest truth, if I had $1 million dropped in my lap, I would buy a mountain and I'd go live up on it like an Amish person. I'd fence in my yard, make my house, and no electricity, and I would survive.
Even in the winter?
Yeah, even in the winter. You smoke me, you cure me, you can, you jaw, you grow plant and vegetation inside. You have a big you know, fireplace for wood. Shit, put me up in the mountains and I'll live like a freaking queen with no technology. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that. There is there's people that
that. I'd fall off the grid and live like Grizzly Adams. That'd be it.
Right. You'd be a good-looking Grizzly Adams.
Maybe, maybe not, man. A couple of years out in the wilderness, I might look like Grizzly Adams.
No more. Make sure you bring a whole huge supply of razors with you.
No more facials, you know.
So I'd come out to visit you and be like, damn, woman, shave, will you?
Yeah. After I've been talking to the squirrels and the acorns and the trees and shit, I'd be all kinds of loony. Nah, I'd be in my glory, man. I find, like, I like it when it's so quiet that you can almost hear echoes inside your ears, you know? I just like it. I'm not game for all the shenanigans. I would be perfectly, like I said, $1 million, buy a mountain, that's it, I'm gone. See you later.
I don't know. I've been in both situations. I've been where it's real quiet, and I've been where it's noisy. And where do I come back to? Noisy. When it's so quiet, I do not understand how people can like that. I sit there and I look at people like, this is a big mind fuck. How do you survive just with everything like, we're, you know, and don't get me wrong, I can hear crickets and stuff here during the summer. But the point being, you know, it's just I am not used to quiet. I'm not used to it. I wasn't raised around it, nothing.
No, not me. I've had enough noise to last me a lifetime.
I don't think I have enough noise by me.
Oh, God. Well, I'll be cool. I'll be living up in the woods.
We're down to the
left. I would be, you know what? I'd be so strategic, Phil, and such an asshole. Get that $1 million. I'd get my house built up on that freaking mountain, and you know what? The only goddamn way you could get to me would be by helicopter. I'd make sure of it. You'd have to have money to come visit me. I ain't sending for nobody, and I'm going to make it virtually impossible to get to me by foot.
Well,
that's
make sure there's a mountain man somewhere around
you. No, I'm serious. If I had the opportunity to do that, that's how strategic I would do it. I would make sure that it would be virtually impossible to get to me by foot.
Really?
That'd be it. Yes, I'd be living large by myself.
So you kind of be like,
Why my money grew?
No, you kind of be like Alcatraz.
No way, man. You know something? If you're an outdoor person and you, like, do the woods and all that stuff, there's new adventures every single day. Nothing gets boring. Shit changes.
Oh, no. I've camped and stuff, so that's never an issue. It's just that I couldn't be in quiet 24/7 for years.
Oh,
good.
I could. I definitely could.
Yeah. All right, well, I'm going to take a stop with little Mike Pete.
Okay.
I'll see you guys tomorrow on Thursday.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.
Tomorrow is the interview of Pete Alva and his new film, The Biker Movie.
Yeah, that's going to be coming out soon.
Yeah, he'll be talking about that, and then I'll let Mike take us out, and then see you guys later.
Okay.
Good night.
Have a good night, and a good day tomorrow.
I am... the dog.